Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Will you be home for Christmas? I mean, hopefully you can be home with relatives and friends and gather at a place that's meaningful to you, but that's not the home I'm referring to. Will you be at home with Christ? The hope of God stirring in your life, will you be at hope in the reason for the season of Christmas? Will you be at home with yourself? Home with people and home with the one who created you. That's the home that Christmas leads us to. Today is hope. Next week is peace. Then comes joy, and then it's love. That each Sunday of the Advent season has a lead theme, and they are the trail that we can travel to make sure that we are home with God at Christmas. And we have found a home that never goes away. We have found a home where we belong. And the power of that home stirs inside of us with a hope. That theme for today that comes right out of the scriptures. It's the theme of Emmanuel, that God is with us. To know that God never abandons us, as Annette said, even in the midst of her addiction and sin, God was with her, stirring within her a desire that there is a better way to live, and there is a better person that she was called to be. Now, the same is true for me. Need. The need of coming at home with repentance. The need of coming at home and being at one with God by His grace and forgiveness. The same is true for you. And Annette's description is that now that she is at home with God, the one who never abandoned her, Emmanuel, will certainly be the one who strengthens her and guides her. That God is with you, the source of our hope, who leads us to Christmas. So at home for Christmas is at home with Emmanuel. And that is a matter of just saying yes to His very presence. But in order for us to allow that to take root in our life, we have to let hope form that deep awareness in our soul. It's true to the heart of God. Hope didn't just come out of magical dust. It didn't come out of someone's thought of wouldn't it be nice. Hope came from the very DNA of God's character and created that hope within His existence. That's why you are happiest. You are most powerful. You feel the power flowing inside you when you have hope stirring inside you. No one in this world is more dangerous than someone who doesn't have hope. And no one is more powerful than the person who is filled with hope, the real hope that comes from Emmanuel. Well, let's take a look at Scripture. Isaiah 40:31, the same prophet in his movement, gave a vision into the future when he said, this verse that has been famous because it has spoken to our hearts through the course of time, that they who hope in the Lord, let's say it together, they who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar with wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Now, many of you had memorized that from the King James Version, thought, well, I thought the word was wait, those who wait on the Lord, but it's translated as hope. And not running and not growing weary, Mike McCarty, welcome back. The man stayed up at 1 o'clock last night with our sound crew cleaning up after the concert, ran in the rock and roll marathon this morning, and is at Sound Place back at 10 o'clock this morning. Hi to you. So if you talk to someone later today and they said, you know, we just couldn't make it for worship today, said, yeah, really, right? It's the sense of that hope in the Lord that is being centered into His presence. So the psalmist, like what Annette claimed out of the Psalms, 31:24, said, be strong and take heart, all you who what? Who hope in the Lord. The story continues on in the power of when the Apostle Paul was writing to the early church and he wanted them to know what stirred inside them, that the glorious riches of this mystery is Christ in you. And who is He but the hope of glory? The promise continues in the back in the hope of the Hebrew Scriptures. About 580 years before Christ was born, he laid out the awareness of what Emmanuel means. And this verse that we also have come to cherish and love, let's say it together. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. plans to give you hope and a future, which means that we can trust in God's character. This hope is not a God who's wishy-washy. It's not he's here now and not there later. It is the steadfastness of the very presence of God who's present with us. And that's why the Apostle Paul, in writing the chapter of love, said in God's DNA creation, he has created the three most powerful forces available to everyone. In the last verse of that love chapter, it goes, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Or the writer of the book of Hebrews, in which he was laying out a vision for people who are being persecuted, who seemed to have no hope, but they were people of hope. They spoke into their time of persecution with great courage and vision. Why? Because of this. Because they had faith. And where did the faith come from? But it's the substance of things what? Hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Now this is in the very means of the light of God that sheds hope into the world, which is why in the prophet Isaiah, he laid out a vision made famous by the lines that the light will shine into the darkness. But again, the word light can be translated in its function of the hope being shining into the darkness. Isaiah was a priest. He was working the temple. It was his responsibility to lead in worship. And one day, when he went to the temple, it wasn't like all the other days. The king had died. King Uzziah had died. The most powerful thought to be man in all the land. He went to the Lord and was praying prayers of, Lord, how may I serve you and how may I help lead in this challenging time, this crisis time for us as a people. Foes are pressing upon our boundaries and our people are lacking confidence. And so he felt himself being transformed. He said, Lord, my lips are unclean and I live among unclean people. And the word of God spoke to Isaiah, a human being like you and me, and said, Isaiah, who can I send? Who can I send out into the world with my message of hope? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And so by that commitment, the Lord said, well, I will trust you then with the prophecy that I'm needing to give in for your day in this time of crisis, but for the day to come. In my perspective, a remarkable man, George Herbert Herschel Walker Bush passed away. And in his passing was somebody who had lived a span of time of 94 years. And when he passed away, he was received into the kingdom of heaven because he had followed the Savior here on earth. But when he was greeted in heaven, I can easily picture God saying to him, welcome home, George. But also at the same time, the Lord was greeting others. Like, welcome home, Lee Glisson. Welcome home, Skip Brooks. Welcome home, Dee Newman. Welcome home, Ola Garrett. Others from our church who've just passed away in the last few days. See, they're all equal in the home of God. Not more important or less important, all are equal in the sight of God. In the leveling field of heaven is the fulfillment of all the prophecies and the life and the ministry, the death and the resurrection that Jesus was seeking to accomplish on earth. The kingdom is established. And so the Lord trusted Isaiah with a vision of hope and home. And so he was given the word to say this, that the people who walk in darkness will see a great hope. Those who live in a dark land, the hope will shine on them. The whole light pushing back the darkness, such as in last night's concert and the experience of Andrew Peterson's gift and the crew of people here brought with a vision of Jacob and a team of people into the life of our church was to push back the darkness. Our global missions banquet this Wednesday evening is also focusing around the story of Jesus Christ raises up a people who will not allow human trafficking in the 21st century. And yet, there are more slaves, functional slaves, in today's world than ever before. And so we rise up, people of the church, to push back that darkness and to do what? To shine the hope, to shine the hope into our world. Now that hope comes from the power of finding strength within our life. Find the strength in a realized hope. Find the strength in the hope of God working his message inside of you. That's what's going on in this Matthew 1, in which Andrew did a marvelous job of singing the song cleverly written about the genealogy. When I first began reading the New Testament, I decided I'll begin at the beginning. Matthew 1, mistake. Tripping up over all the names that are there, but the power of all of that hope is this promise that if God has worked from the genealogy of the people, people who walked on earth from Abraham, and Abraham to David, and David into the day of which Joseph lived, if he's worked through them, he can work through you. The same God who was God then is the God now. The same promise of God stirring in our lives now gives us confidence right now. If you think that you're experiencing a pressure in your life, a pain that's captivated the imagination of your soul, that it's hard for you to picture life without this pain being a part of your life, and you think you're the first one who's ever experienced it, I've got news for you, and it's good news. You're not experiencing anything that hasn't been experienced before by people of God, and God has shown them through. Now, our technology makes a difference, right? Okay. But listen, Blaise Pascal, who lived in the mid-1600s, he was the first person to put together a mechanical instrument of a calculator. He was the first one who invented a wristwatch, the first person who designed a bus route, and he made major contributions to the field of mathematics. But he wasn't at home in this world. He didn't feel at home in his purpose. And one day, in his mode of transportation, he was riding in a carriage. The door of the carriage flew wide open. He almost fell down, but somebody grabbed him and kept him inside. He realized he would have died over the cliff. And then he became face to face with death. And he didn't like what he saw. But what had kept him from trusting in the message of the gospel, being at home through Christ, the Emmanuel, was his reason. And then God showed him a truth. It's a truth now famous. The heart has reasons that reason knows not of. The heart can take us a long ways, but it can't take us the whole way. The reason is there to be able to take us as far as where faith must take over in the intelligence of trusting in God. And so he laid out what was called the Pascal wager, which goes that if any reasonable person would make the wager that God exists and there is eternity. Because if there's not, you still lived in the best way possible. And if there is, then you've avoided hell and you've gained a heaven. That wager was a way of a theory of probability, again, which influenced the whole field of mathematics. All of this happening by someone who wasn't at home in his heart with God and found his home heart with God and gave himself into the power of Emmanuel. Find strength. I want to read to you a letter. It was a letter written by a grandson for yesterday's funeral service for Letha. Let his Lee Glisson, who would sit right back there almost every Sunday. She was a writer. Her roots were in East Texas, graduated from the University of Oklahoma. Sorry, Texas fans. And in the midst of that, she came to San Antonio, worked at Brooks. She worked as a historian here in San Antonio. And in that, she was active in Alpha Home and Anger Solution Networks, Life Skills for a Living. I read this letter on Taylor's behalf, the grandson. Many of you may be wondering why I myself am not there. For those of you who don't know, I am currently incarcerated at the Stevenson Unit Prison in Cuero, Texas, for a 20-year sentence. My grandmother was never ashamed of this fact, so it wouldn't make much sense to hide it now. The fact that my grandmother was there for me was the great gift that she had been since I was born. But I could not be there for her today in her final days will hurt me more than any amount of her prison time. Leith was many things, and he describes the influence of his grandmother in her life, the strength of her character and her faith, her laughter, her wisdom, and that he found himself becoming the very person that she had prayed for him to be, but it was happening in a place that he never expected he would end up in prison. But he let it grow inside of him, thinking of his grandmother and her influence, that now I am today the kind, in a funny sort of way, here, a person of compassion, loving, truthful, caring, a strong person I am today because of her. Imagine the heartache of this 37-year-old man. I know Taylor, love him, as many of you do. And while he is there behind the bars, he is free in the power of being at home with God. And he is at free in his love. And he is free in the power of knowing that there is an eternity where all reunions take place. The unions for people who are at home with God. Find strength in those who've gone before you. Second, act. Act in hope for what God is doing today. Hope is not simply a past tense or just a future tense. Hope is an action of our lives today. You showed up because you had hope for worship. You showed up because you had hope in being in a relationship with people you knew, grandparents to be with, the joy of friendships and family, the sense of the joy of making new friends and building old friends in light of the Spirit of the living God, that God would speak his message to you, that you are a person of hope and our world desperately needs the hope shining from your life into your world. Act on that hope and act it in ways that the people most difficult to see it this week will see it because Jesus is shining through you. That's what's occurring in Matthew 1:16. And so this hope that had shined in the story leading up to Joseph and Mary, and that Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary would become the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah, the Anointed One, the hope being realized. Well, we'd come a long way since Eden of the Bible, that Garden of Eden. But it got a little clearer to me this past Tuesday night when my granddaughter was born. There in the hospital was Eden, born into the world as her first name. Eden Mia Lugaya Holland. On 10-9-10, right here in this sanctuary, her parents were married. Eden is the force of a presence of hope in our life that stirs inside of every one of us. This next generation simply carries the name of that place of hope. Because you know what happened in the Garden of Eden, God's creation of a home on earth where everything was well and right and good as they were trusting in the ways of God, and then this rebellion and pride and sin just messed it up. People called Adam and Eve. And we've never been in Eden since then. But we yearn for it. Because where is Eden now? It is in heaven perfectly. But it is in the people of God trying to create the kingdom of God, the ways of God in our relationships and how we live life, to think of yourself taking that Eden force into the world. And so Eden, Mia's parents wanted me to also to share with you that they see God's intended best not only in the name of Eden and the hope for their daughter, but that you have embodied that for them and that they are grateful for your being encouragers to them. That's how it happens. Acting on hope today. So that thirdly, we can partner. We can partner in God's hope for tomorrow. That's where most people think of hope, is in the future tense, what is yet to be. Yet if we're strengthened by the hope realized from the past, we are acting on the hope today, then we are strong and positioned to be able to see what is possible. That's a partnering with the hope of what is yet to be. Ed Shelton was a friend of mine from Kentucky days, and he grew up in a place called Buffalo, Kentucky, near the birth home of Abraham Lincoln. He would work in the fields. It was okay for Baptists back then to plant tobacco, grow tobacco, cure tobacco, sell tobacco, because it paid for the groceries and got people in college. And so they were a tobacco-growing family. And it was time to harvest the tobacco. And he could hear it kind of yelling across the hills in the farm area, "Come, hope me." That was that region of Kentucky saying, "Come, help me." But the word has its old English roots. Help is hope. Come, hope me. Well, Ed and Ruth could not have naturally children of their own, but they had hearts of parents, and they adopted three children. They became the hope generation for them. They raised their three children and blessed them as people of hope into the future. Seeing tomorrow in light of how God is working in your life today and has performed in the past, so that you then have the courage to be who you need to be to create the future that God is working to create. Now, that's what's going on in this passage that then we'll follow up with the angel speaking to Joseph. These were words that were very familiar coming out of Isaiah, and which then in Matthew 1, 23 and 24, he said, "Now all of this took place to fulfill the hope of what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah, that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means what? God with us. And so at home now, God with you. I trust you're at home with him. Update your home conversation with God in this Advent season, in this worship time, in this very moment. For seekers, such as the beauty of Annette, coming to say, "I'm coming home. I'm coming home, because that's where I belong." Coming home to belong. That's the power of what God does. And to be at home as a transformed person in the power of Christ. Well, may your Christmas be wonderful because you're truly at home. The hope and fears of all the years is what we sing in O Little Town of Bethlehem. That you may let that be your prayer expression unto God now. As we stand and we sing, I'll be standing here for those who are ready, like Annette, to say, "I'm a believer in Christ Jesus." Like Arthur said last Sunday, like Mackenzie said last Sunday, baptisms that will happen on the 16th and the 23rd as a boy and as a man coming to say, "I trust my life with Christ," coming like others into the life of the church by membership, followers of Christ, to be the family of God here. Or if you'd like for me to pray with you, or you want to come and kneel and pray here, do so right now as we sing.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.